Good morning. All right, welcome to the 2014 Thanksgiving in the Park meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Yay! My name is Deanna, and I'm a compulsive overeater, 100-pounder. Hi. Well, those who wish to, please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any other compulsive overeaters here besides myself? Yeah, you're at the right park. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine, and we take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. In honor of the Thanksgiving holiday, we are reminded of the many gifts this program has given us. The following speakers will be sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us today. Our first speaker is V. Just come on up.
Glasses, just in case. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bea. Grateful, gracefully recovering compulsive overeater. Wherever Carla is, thank you for asking me to speak today. Can you all hear me?
Recorder's on there.
Oh, so I might want to stay here. Got it. I'll just stand right here. Very stoic. Okay. I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm very grateful for OA. I'm grateful for my recovery. Just to get the numbers out of the way, I have been in these rooms since May 2010. So I'm about 4.5 years of gratefully in perfect abstinence. And when I'm thinking about just reflecting on my abstinence and just program, perfection and imperfection is a big part of my life story. So my, I just don't want to walk around, but I can't. I grew up with this idea of what my life should look like, and the fact that it didn't always look the way that I wanted it to, I thought something was wrong. And sometimes I still kind of vacillate between perfection and not. But what I'm really grateful for program for giving me is that it allows me to really accept and love myself completely. That is what I have gotten from, that's one of the, just one of many gifts I've gotten from the 12 steps and from working with the sponsor and meetings and all that. So what was it like? What it was like was my history is in binge eating, in exercise bulimia, in trying to fix. I was one of those straight A kids. Both my parents are very accomplished folk. And they had an idea of what my life was supposed to look like, so I was constantly striving and achieving for that. And somewhere along, I don't know, around fourth or fifth grade, I gained a whole lot of weight. And I couldn't tell you why. I'm sure that there were various things going on, and I don't know, why are we here, ultimately? Why are we sitting here right now? I don't know the roots of it, and I don't have to know the roots of it. The thing of it, is I have a solution now. I don't have to try and fix myself. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. There's no fixing. It's just constant, how can I grow to be a better human being, a better person? That's what these programs have taught me, these programs, because I'm in multiple programs. This is my first program. So I said my abstinence is, I just want to be really honest with you all. My abstinence has been messy recently. I have had, the only thing I do perfectly really is show up every day, show up for my life, show up and be in communication, constant communication with my sponsor. just feel like saying the Serenity Prayer. If you all want to join me. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. God, what do you want me to say? I can stand up here and be imperfect. I can stand up here and not have it all planned out of what I was going to say. The hope that I've received from this fellowship is that I no longer have to exercise myself down to perfection, because perfection does not exist. It doesn't. And even when I was at this proverbial goal weight, and I thought that it would fix everything that I thought was wrong with me, life still didn't look like how I thought it should. So what program has given me is, I want to go back to that self-acceptance and that self-love. On those days when I am imperfect with my food, with my behavior, with whatever is going on, I can get centered. I can make a phone call. I can call my sponsor. And I can say, you know what, this is the deal. This is what's going on. And I can allow God to come through and soothe me, you know? What program has also given me is the gift of pause. What does that look like? Okay, I'll give you an example. So I came into work a few days ago, and I saw a piece of mail on my desk that was opened, and someone had written, it was like a check that I needed to deposit in accounting. And so it wasn't like a personal piece of correspondence, but still, the envelope had my name on it, and I wasn't the one who opened it. And there was some scribble on the check, and I had no idea, you know, what was going on. And my trigger was to go to the person who I thought had done it and kind of rip them a new a-hole. But I didn't. You know, I knew that I already was, so that's the first 5 minutes, thank you. I knew I already was coming into work kind of, it was already a rough day. I'd been dealing with some stuff with the, I'm supposed to be flying home in January, and there was some mix-ups with the airline and Expedia, so I was on like an hour phone call with the representatives, and so, you know, that's not really the best time to talk to any of my coworkers about something I thought they did. So the gift of this pause was that, you know, I heard the tape going, and I said, you know what, this is probably not a good time to address this. I will wait until a few hours or whatever. And I waited a few hours, and I still was kind of feeling whatever. And let's fast forward. The next day, I came in, and that's when I addressed it. When I had calmed down, everything was not so heightened, and I was able to make a joke about it. And the person who I thought had done it actually didn't. So I was able to say, hey, you know, I came in and I saw this, you know, this envelope was open. Was that you who did it? And she was like, oh my God, no. So thank you, program, because I've worked all 12 steps in this program. I'm working them in a fourth program right now. I'm on 12 in another program. And so I have had my fair share of fourth step inventories. For those of you who are new, I don't know if there are any newcomers. Are there any newcomers here today, by the way? No, everyone's old timer. Okay, so, you know, the fourth step is made of searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And having done the eighth and the ninth step, and the ninth step is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others, I've done that enough times that I don't want to have to keep doing them. I will, because I'm an imperfect human being. But in this case, you know, I don't want to have drama. I've had work drama before, and it doesn't work. It's not pleasant. I don't want it. So I'm grateful for having gone through the steps process in this program and various programs to allow me to have that pause, that space of nothingness, because I always want to fill that space with food or with excitement or with people or with TV or something. So for me to be able to just sit in that discomfort and be with this imperfection, but it's beautifully imperfect. I don't see myself as this hideous, you know, imperfect thing that you're so ugly, you're so fat, you're so disgusting. I used to think that way about myself. because of program, you know, we start with the food and I start with the food, I start with the physicality, but it is so much more than that. So much more than that. Today's for today is about being unsettled. And so here it is. People wish to be settled. And for those hi people in cyberspace land, I want to acknowledge you all. So for today is our OA piece of literature, conference approved. And today, people wish to be settled only as far as they are unsettled is there any hope for us, by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Unsettled may be said to be a state of becoming, which is what we in Overeaters Anonymous are doing. Just as growth is a process that is never finished, so is recovery an ongoing process. I am recovering, not recovered. Being settled is never forever. I can say, when this is over, I'll be all right. Oh my gosh. When this is over, I'll be all right. When I finally lost this weight, I have an experience of yo-yo dieting, compulsive dieting, gain a bunch of weight, lose a bunch of weight. For me, the compulsive overeating, the binging, the other side of that is got to burn it off, got to exercise it off. And what that also meant was doing exercises that I didn't really like. Like, I don't necessarily like being on the elliptical. I do it now out of self-love, not because I'm trying to reach some societal thing of expectation. I didn't realize how much of a people pleaser I was before, because people would look at me and they'd be like, oh my gosh, you look like you don't need anything from anybody, because I just have that physicality. But, and I'm not a people pleaser in the sense that, oh, I'll do whatever you want. Oh, you know, just don't be mad at me. But people pleaser in a silent sense, and that I'm inflicting all this inward damage because I'm trying to reach this ideal of what my parents wanted me to be, of what I thought men wanted me to be, of what I thought I should be. But there is no should be. There is only what I am now. And that is okay. That's more than okay. That is perfection. For me to show up imperfectly and just be me, that is the perfection of God. It's just for me to be here. So 10 more minutes? Thank you. You know, I used to always also have this big issue, and part of my character defects, one of them, is this expectations it's not really a word, but it's the sense of, I still kind of do this whole, you know, when I'm done with this issue in my life, or once this thing is over, then, oh, I can breathe. And when something else pops up, I think, oh my God, something's wrong. Well, you know what? That's just part of life. You know, I've had some growing up to do, and program has allowed me, and I love my sponsor so much because she reminds me that, you know, this is just cycles. And I can sometimes go into the realm of over-dramatization and thinking that the world is crashing down and I need to commit suicide because something is not turning out the way I want. And you know what? The more people who I acknowledge and love and talk to, they remind me, you know, that's just life. So this is not a food issue. This is a life issue. And I get to be tethered to reality through the steps and through this program. So how do I tangibly work my program now? I touch base with my sponsor once a week. It started off when I was working with her. Actually, let's rewind. Let's rewind back to May 16th or 17th, 2010. I saw this woman who was sitting across from me. And this whole 12-step thing was so foreign to me. I never had any experience in 12-step before May 16th, 2010. And I just went to meetings. I was like, I don't know who these crazy people are. They sound like, why are they all talking, you know, in unison, whatever, whatever. But I had tried everything, and I thought that, you know, I also have experience with laxative abuse and diet pills, which I haven't done laxative, and I haven't taken a diet pill since coming in this program. Although I was, thank you, the world. So this was the last house on the block, as I hate cliches, but this really was. This really, really was. And so, you know, people said, I'll get a sponsor. And I was like, all right. I did not think too hard about who the woman was who became my sponsor, because I was at a meeting. She was sitting across from me. She shared for 3 minutes. I got this sense, this like hit, like, oh my gosh, that is her. I made a beeline for her right after the meeting. I asked her, are you, you know, would you sponsor me? She told me, call me tomorrow and we'll have a conversation. We did, and she's been my sponsor ever since. And she's taking me through the 12 steps. And she is a big part of my rock. She is not my rock. My rock is God. I'm very clear with that. But she's a huge piece of my foundation. I don't know how I could have been abstinent this entire time, 4.5 years, abstinence off my bottom line, which involves drive-thrus and fast food, and then on the other side of that is compulsive exercising it off. Like, it's, they're, and, oh, and I forgot to say, the self-degradation and all the poop talk. So I keep in touch with her now. I used to call her every day when I first came in, and, you know, this woman told me to do stuff, and from a loving sense, not like you have to go jump off a bridge stuff. She's very loving, and I trusted her, and I believed in her, and so I kept in touch with her, and I did what she, you know, recommended I should do. And a big part of that is we started working the steps immediately. She said, I would like you to get these books. One of them is This For Today, and I got them immediately. I was not interested in arguing with this woman who had 14 years of abstinence, because I really thought that this was something that I would have to deal with my entire life. I thought I would have to try to find some way to diet down to an acceptable weight so that I could manage this horrible addiction that had me in drive-through parking lots in the dark, just eating and crying. You know, if I have a messy food day now, I won't cry about it. I'll be like, all right, this is what I did, and, you know, I'm not feeling so great about it. But I don't go into that downward spiral of, it's time for me to die. Because that's what it was like. It was that extreme. I have a couple of outreach buddies to my God squad who I talk to on a consistent basis. Thank you. 5 more minutes. And I have to say, this is my first OA meeting I've been to in over a month. I am working another program right now. I said before I'm on the 12 step in that program, so that has definitely been my focus. But it's good to be in these rooms, to be reminded, because the compulsive overeating tendency is still there. It's still there. Does it still manifest the way that it did before? No. No, it doesn't. But it's still there. So I get to come here, and I get to be with all of you who get it. And I get to stay tethered to truth, to reality, which is I am okay as I am, and I don't have to deal with this on my own, and that other people get it. And even if I do go into periods of isolation, I do reemerge, and it doesn't take me that long to reemerge. It may be a couple of hours or a day. But I just have better tools to take care of myself now. I know how to take care of myself now. I know how to soothe myself. I kiss myself on the thighs. I did the other day. I was, you know, soothing myself, and I was like, there, you know, like a mother would to her child. Because I am my child. I get to parent myself. That's what the rooms allow me to do. I don't have to look to some outside entity. And sometimes I still forget. Sometimes I still do that. But then program, you know, brings me back. It's just, you know, the tether. It brings me back to truth and reality, which is that I am okay as I am. Even if I were to do the most horrendous thing I could think of, I still deserve love. I still deserve respect. I don't have to be perfect. There is no such thing as perfect. We are perfect as we are. So the final piece in this reading says, for today, I rejoice that the feeling of being unsettled, having many problems to deal with, much adjusting to do, Send me to my higher power instead of the refrigerator. Send me to God. Send me to you. Send me to my sponsor. Send me to my outreach sisters and outreach brothers. Send me to loving forms of exercise. Send me to loving self-talk, you know? I no longer have to... Well, when I do feel unsettled and uncomfortable, I'm reminded of what my sponsor has told me many, many times. Just be okay in the gray. Be okay in the gray. And sometimes, I'm not one of those people that it actually would serve me to have a black and white abstinence, even though I have thought about it, because my journey has been from imperfection to being okay, from this idea of perfection and having to be perfect to this notion and the reality of that gray and imperfection is okay. So sometimes when life is gray, or oftentimes when life is gray, and sometimes when my food is gray, because most times my food and my exercise are absolutely amazing. I love it. But sometimes it gets out of whack, and my sponsor reminds me, oh, okay, welcome to life. You know? So, my parting words. Thank you all for being part of my abstinence. Thank you, Carla, for getting me here today. I'm looking forward to getting to more meetings. I don't know how many more consistently. But I'm grateful that I have a solution today that allows me to love my body as it is, and that allows me to remember that even though I have issues with people as well, you all deserve love, you all deserve respect, and we are all emanations of God, and may you be okay living in the gray. Thank you.
Thank you so much, V. Our next speaker is Josh.
Hello, I'm Josh. I'm a compulsive overeater. I got some pictures to prove it, so hopefully I'll get those back later. So, is there anybody here that's relatively new to OA? Anyone? Okay, great. And anyone where this is what they're planning to be their first abstinent Thanksgiving? Great, because it can be done. Beautiful. So June 29th is celebrated one day at a time, 12 years of abstinence, and my top weight is 260 pounds. And we've been coming to this meeting for 12 years now, which is kind of an amazing thing. And this is the only way I know how to start Thanksgiving today in recovery, is to come to this meeting and be with all of you. So thank you. It can be done for the people that are new and, you know, thinking about, you know, getting through Thanksgiving today. It can be done without compulsively overeating. And for me, as a real compulsive overeater, Thanksgiving was all about the food. I mean, all about the food in every sense. And, it was going for plates and plates and plates and desserts and desserts and the whole thing. And, believe it or not, the harder day for me was the day after Thanksgiving. Because then there were the leftovers, you know? The day after Thanksgiving, literally, one of my best friends and I have been, we made a holiday out of it 18 years ago, all around basically compulsively overeating. And it's called post-Thanksgiving. And he'll come over and bring over movies and we'll literally eat leftovers. We'll have an appetizer movie and a lunch movie and a dessert movie. And it would be, you know, able to eat, you know, during the whole thing. And it was one of my favorite days of the year before program, as you can imagine. And today, it's still one of my favorite days of the year, but not for the same reasons as before. Today I can just have an abstinent lunch during it and not have to do the whole binge through the whole thing, but be able to enjoy things like the fellowship with my best friend who lives on the East Coast that I don't get to see very often. And that's a miracle of this program, because before program, it was all about what I was going to eat. And I'd be eating my meal, and I'd be thinking about what am I going to eat next. And that's what it was like. Today, through the grace of this program and these steps and my higher power, I don't have to do that. And that's really a miracle. And with Thanksgiving, it's supposed to be a day of gratitude. I don't even think I knew that before I came with the program. I thought it was just a day about food. I didn't realize. And you know, today I can now have it be about being with my family, and be about what Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. And that really is a miracle, this program. I remember before I came into program, when I had my bar mitzvah, it was really exciting because I picked out all the food. I still remember exactly what we had. It was like all about the food at this great party. And then 5 years ago, definitely by the grace of my higher power, I got married. And that was in recovery. And for me, I have a threefold disease. I have a physical, emotional, and spiritual on all three levels. And the physical, when I came into program, it was easier to see because I couldn't stop eating and I was overweight. I couldn't stop. When I started, I couldn't stop. I was at the drive-thru twice a night, ordering double portions. There was nothing I could do to stop. But I didn't know until I came into program that I also had an emotional disease, and I wasn't able to completely feel my emotions or connect with people emotionally on a true level. And whenever there were emotions that would come up, I would stuff them down with the food and numb it out. Or if there was something good that came up, like a happy emotion, I would stuff it down with the food and numb it out, and that was my way to celebrate. So if it was good, if it was bad, whatever. I didn't need an excuse. You know, I was eating. And I have a spiritual disease as well. I have a God-sized hole. And I was trying to stuff it down with food. I was trying to fill up that hole with food, and it didn't work. And today, I come to this program because I'm reminded that I can fill it up with my higher power. But I forget. I forget all the time. That's why I have to come to these meetings. That's why I have to call my sponsor. Where I was going with this is when I got married, it wasn't about the food. It was about getting married. And when I had, you know, my bar mitzvah, it was about, you know, eating all this food. And a big part of that is because I was able to connect and am able to connect today with my wife on all three levels that I couldn't connect with anyone before. Physically, which is really, you know, big deal for me, emotionally, and spiritually. And to be able to have that connection on that day is a miracle of this program. And is a far greater gift than anything I could have imagined before I came into program. I didn't know that I was lacking that before I came into program. All I knew was that I wanted to eat what I wanted when I wanted it. And that was it. And I was young when I came into program. I was 19 years old, so it was still sort of working to an extent with the food. It wasn't completely working, but it was still, you know, at that point where it would be numbing out. And, you know, I don't remember a time where I wasn't a compulsive overeater. And it was at 19 years old going into my junior year of college, and my dad came into program. It's been, what, 16 years now. And I had seen growing up struggling with his weight and with his food. And then he found Overeaters Anonymous and something was different. He had what I now understand to be a sense of serenity that he didn't have with the food before he came into program. And I was 19 years old and hadn't done exercise in years. All I was doing was eating what I wanted when I wanted. And I asked my dad about Overeaters Anonymous. I said, what's up with this OA thing? What is this? And instead of giving me the literature, instead of talking to me about it, he brought me to my first OA meeting. And it was that summer of 2002. We went to the Serenity Sunday meeting at Roxbury Park, which is still my home meeting. And we went to the newcomer meeting. And then we went to the main meeting after. And at the main meeting, there was a guy, he was a speaker. He had lost over 100 pounds, and he'd been maintaining it for years. and I'd never heard of anything like that. He started talking about food, and it was like, that's me. That's me with the food. And he had this huge belt buckle that had all these knots, and it showed, it was from when he was heavy, it showed where it is on him now, and he, you know, looked totally normal, and I was just blown away. And a guy came up to me after the meeting, and he was about my age now, a little bit younger, totally normal body weight, and he said, Josh, I used to be over 400 pounds, and this is my number. So I was intrigued. So I called him. And he said, Josh, he gave me some of the best advice I could have gotten when I was new. He said, Josh, if you come to 6 meetings before you make up your mind, if you go to 6 meetings, you know, you at some point you might even hear your story. And he said, you know, just give it a chance. And it was by my 3rd or 4th meeting that I knew that I was willing to go to any lengths. That I was willing to go to any lengths for this to be able to abstain in this program. And I have heard my story from so many people, from people that may have a lot in common with me. We may have sort of, you know, it would make sense that we'd have the same story, but even more often from people that on the outside, we have very little in common. We may be from a different country, from a different religion, different socioeconomic, different everything. But when we start talking about the food, and when we start talking about this disease, we are exactly the same. Because we also have this threefold disease. And we have the same crazy brain. You know, it's like, what? We can't fix a crazy brain with the crazy brain. You know, with this disease that's constantly trying to tell me I don't have a disease. And it's an amazing, beautiful thing. Because it's like, with you guys, with my fellows, I have a lot more in common with oftentimes than I do even with my actual birth family. Although one of them I have a lot in common with. I heard about things like abstinence and the steps, and I didn't know what any of that meant. And I was told to get a sponsor. And with a sponsor, I found out what that stuff meant. And now when I'm working with sponsees, you know, that's the first thing that we're going through is the abstinence, and then we start going through the steps. And it was hard for me at first to get a sponsor because I wanted to get a guy to sponsor me. And I was having a hard time finding a guy. And I went to the Men's Stag meeting. At the time was in Brentwood. It's now still going in Westwood. And I couldn't get a guy to sponsor me. At the time, they didn't introduce sponsors during the meeting. So I sat through this whole meeting, like a few weeks in to program. And then after the meeting, I said, hey, guys, I've been in program a few weeks, so I really need a sponsor. And 3 guys came up to me after that meeting and gave me their number and offered to sponsor me. And that was how I got my first sponsor. And we started going through the steps to find my abstinence. My abstinence is pretty much the same as it has been for the last 12 years. My abstinence is different than my sponsor's abstinence. And my abstinence is also different than all my sponsee's abstinence. Because it has to do with my past behaviors with the food. There are certain... the amount of food that I can eat, because if I eat more than, you know, for me it's 3 meals and an optional snack. If I eat more than that, it doesn't matter what I'm eating. I'm a compulsive overeater, so I can do that on anything. But then I also have a food plan that I follow today that's really particular for the stuff that I was binging on, before. And I had that broken up into 3 different categories. I have the red light, yellow light, and green light foods. The red light foods are the foods that I can't eat today, that if I start, I can't stop. Those are like the alcoholic foods for me, where I have a physical allergy. The yellow light foods are the foods that if I'm eating more, you know, a fair amount, that probably means they either should be on the red light or I really need to be careful with them. And the green light foods are really exciting because those are the ones that don't typically give me issues. So those are the ones, you know, you get to put on there. But they're not that exciting to me, you know. That's how I have it broken down. And my first sponsor, you know, we started going through the steps together, started going through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember early on, about 7 months into program, I was going to be studying abroad in Australia. And I had all this fear around it. And then I went to, you know, one of the home meetings in L.A., and a fellow gave me all these tapes, all these OA tapes. It was a beautiful thing. It was before all the podcasts and all that stuff. And I brought that, a cassette tape and a cassette player, so that I could have meetings there. And then I looked up and was able to find an OA meeting that was 30 minutes away off the train. And that became my home meeting while I was there on Saturdays. And at that meeting, I got a sponsor, because at the time, there wasn't really a reasonable way to be able to call people when with the time change. So I had a sponsor out there, and she took me through steps 6 and 7. And I'm so grateful for her. And, you know, I'd leave messages on her machine every day with my for those 4 months. And then that's what I needed. And I had to keep moving forward. And it can be done one day at a time, but I have to do the footwork. We went to Thailand on a trip, and we were gone for 6 weeks. It was China and Thailand, and in Thailand I found one of the only OA meetings at the time that was going there, and it was amazing. And I got there, and it was pretty much me and I think like 4 Americans, but it was in English, and they were in the process of at the time, this was about 8 years ago, at the time they were in the process of translating the OA 12 and 12 into Thai. And I thought that was an amazing amazing thing, but that's what I needed. And in China they didn't have OA meetings, so I went to an AA meeting, and I heard what I needed to hear, and I got the message. But it really is, you know, going to any length. It's like if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And it's really, that's absolutely true for me, because my disease, it doesn't take a vacation. So I can't take a vacation from this program, because it'll start slowly, and then it'll be like, oh, you know, stop, you know, just stop going to meetings, or stop doing, you know, the prayer, or stop doing the writing. You know, it's like stop doing the stop calling the sponsor, and then all of a sudden it'll snowball. And that's why I have to come to the meeting, so that I'm reminded to stay with the program, to connect with it. And that's why I have to work with newcomers and work with sponsees. They help me more than I help them, the sponsees, because they're calling me. Is that 5 minutes left? And it's like, you know, as my sponsor tells me, I can't share with them my experience if it's not my experience. You know, I can't share with them my experience, strength, and hope if it's not my experience, strength, and hope. So I can't tell them to work the steps if I'm not working the steps. And it, you know, it saves my butt. It really does. And I'm working with a newcomer now. And, you know, yesterday was day one, and today could be, you know, day two on Thanksgiving. How cool would that be, you know, to do it? And it can be done. It can be done just for today. One of my favorite stories in the big book is AA number 3. And he was a total, total hopeless drunk, couldn't stop drinking, had every reason to stop and couldn't stop. Everything for the family, everything for, you know, every possible reason. There was no way that he could stop. And Bill W. and Dr. Bob went to him and said, well, do you think you can get through the next 24 hours without drinking? He said, oh, yeah, anyone can get through 24 hours. But, you know, well, that's all you have to do. That's it. Like, do you think you can get through the next 24 hours without compulsively overeating? Oh, yeah, well, I can do that. Well, that's it. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. It's not about whether or not I'm going to be able to eat X, Y, and Z, you know, next week or tomorrow, or have to abstain forever. It's about whether or not I can get through it today. And if it's just today that I'm focused on, I have a chance. But if I start thinking about the fact that I've abstained from foods for the last 12 years, or if I start thinking about the fact that I may have to do it tomorrow or next Thanksgiving or whatever, that drives me crazy, and that makes me want to go out. But if I just focus on today, then I have a chance. Then I can get through it. And then I can make the calls today. I can start my beautiful 85 degree Thanksgiving morning at Rancho Park with all of you. You know, with all my fellows, and get the boost that I need. And I want to talk about my sponsor, because he's my sponsor because he has what I want. It took me a while to get to my sponsor, but we've been working together for now about 7 or 8 years, and he has what I want. He has over 30 years of abstinence. He has a relationship with his higher power that I want, and he works the program that I want. He has a relationship with his family that I want. He's one of the most patient, amazing people that I know. And he makes more outreach calls than anyone I know in this program. And he does a beautiful thing on the holidays. He always calls his sponsees. And so literally on my way here this morning at 8:30, he called me. my sponsor, and we talked, and I'll probably still call him again later, but it's like, it's, he really gives so much, and it's like, I know now, sponsoring people, that I help him more than I help him, but he really helps me. And with him, he'll never give me advice, and I'll ask him for advice all the time, you know, stuff comes up. It's always, well, can I share with you my experience? I'm like, yeah, of course. I've been calling you every day for the last 8 years. I might share it. And it's always the same. It's, his experience is always the same. It's always, well, Josh, have you written about it? And that's always no. And have you prayed about it? And that's oftentimes at that point no as well. And he's like, well, my experience is if I write about it and I pray about it, my higher power will give me the answer. And that's my experience, too, but I forget. And it is. And, you know, I had a big decision, a big work decision recently that I had to make. And it wasn't until I really took an honest look and wrote about it and prayed about it that my higher power gave me the answer. And it took time. Because I want things to go the way that Josh wants them to go. I will still try to take back my will and try to control everything and have things go the way that I want them to go. But that's not my higher power's plan for me always. And if things did go the way that I wanted them to go, that wouldn't necessarily be, anyways, what would be best for Josh. And my dad has a great thing that he likes to say, which is God has three answers. Yes, yes, but not now, and no, I have something better for you. And it is so easy to forget that when something's happening for me that I don't think should be happening. But it is so true. And there have been times where things have happened I don't understand, and then it may not be right away, but then down the road I'll realize, you know, why things happen. And when I am connected with my higher power, I can see it. I can see my higher power all the time. And I'll get these God shots and stuff that'll happen in my life that before program I would have just thought were a coincidence. And now in program, I know couldn't be anything but my higher power. I'll close with this last... Oh, no, I won't. thank you, Carla, for asking me to speak. I know she's not here. And thank you, guys, and look forward to hearing from all of you.
Yeah, I get applause for everything. This is why I love away. It is now time for our last speaker. We're going to have Robin. Robin. Staging Robin.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robin, compulsive overeater and a 100-pounder. Hi, anybody can't hear you, raise your hand. Can't hear? Oh, okay. Could you help me bring this up? I'll hold it. Like this? Okay, try it again, Robin. Compulsive overeater. 100-pounder, too. Multiple addictions. I'm really happy to be here. When the nice lady invited me, heard the message on the phone, and I said, did she really say that? Called her back, and I said, I have some apprehension, but of course I'll do it. And she said, are you going to back out? And I said, no, I always do what I'm asked when I'm invited or any away task if I can do it. I'm glad to be asked. I wanted to share this. I was thinking about it. I have something in common with everybody here because we're abstaining or we want to be, and it's what we have in common. I was told early on that it's... the similarities I have in common with people, not the differences, and that's important for me because at some aspect of my life, all my life, I felt like an outsider or a weirdo or all of those negative things we hear when the disease is talking to us. I didn't belong, and I knew I didn't belong, and it's interesting, I looked up a speaker in another program, and he said, he felt the big problem he faced was conscious separation, that we felt like outsiders. And a beautiful thing about this program is it makes me feel like I'm a part of, and it turns the volume down on those voices in my head if I practice it on a daily basis. Now, there's a phrase from Star Trek, unity in diversity, and that's what we have here. That's a deeply meaningful phrase to me, to feel a part of. I mean, it's a miracle. I take this program very seriously because it is a disease, and I've seen people, I can't remember his name. He went to the Sunday meeting, lost a ton of weight, put it back on, then died. And I was told that a moment before I was going to lead, and I thought, oh my God, he's dead. I sponsor someone who said he's leaving and he doesn't work, and all I can say is, it's worked for me. It's worked for me, and my God, I was rolling in my defects. I in a group now, study group, we're working over abstinence, and I think there's a newcomer. Any newcomers, could you raise your hand if you're a newcomer, please? Okay, that's real important, because you've done something brave. I'm going to talk about, for you and for everyone else, the food. This is a better description than I've heard in a while. It's in my study group. At first, everything I say is my experience. If I say, you ought to, we ought to, or all that stuff, I'm getting lost in the fact that it's my experience. That's all I have to share. Really, it's God as we understand Him, so it means all I can do is share. And that's the magic, that's the God. Something happens when I reach out and ask someone for help. A beautiful woman named Jane, she's passed away, so I go, Jane Gray from Glendale, Illinois, once said, that means her ever-loving presence. That means her ever-loving presence. And that touched me because I was a mess. And here's a description. You know, the big book of AA is my text. So are the 12 steps. But we have something we created, the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA, on page 9 and 10. And this is a description I can identify with. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, we have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off the ground, dug it out of the garbage. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth about ourselves. We have stolen food from friends, family, employers, as well as from grocery stores. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick, I'll add, of really intense pain of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships, denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive overeating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule, and we have destroyed our health. Now that's some of it. I have one example I'm going to cite. I in OA 83 to 90 got married. That's going to solve everything. That was my motive for staying, and nothing wrong with that. But it betrayed me. It turned on me. I mean, it says in the first step, food now become the rapacious creditor. And I read that and I thought, there's more here than I know. What does rapacious mean? The second definition in the dictionary is ravenous predators, so it boomerangs, it turns on you. I think I'm eating for emotional satisfaction. The reality is, I have an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind. Some foods I can't stop. I mean, I couldn't stop. Now I can. I've abstained for 10 years. I was 305, waist 46, squeezed into 44 pants. Now I'm down to a 36. I mean, I had this unrealistic view. Comfortable in 36. Go to movie theaters. Popcorn bags, large. I'd have them layer, quarter, a half, three quarters. Come out with, you know, butter, margarine, whatever the hell they use at those places. Go in and wipe it off, and I'd go, Robin, this is disgusting. I'd give myself that pep talk. It's disgusting. I'm never going to do it again, and this, the clincher, and this time, I mean it. Next time, over a period of time, repeated behavior. I don't care what they think. I'm doing what I want, because the source of my addiction with, you know, amphetamines, I've conquered hepatitis for the program, and I lost weight. I thought, oh, this is cool, I lose weight. But the source of everything was, I want what I want when I want it. The only thing I didn't apply that to, you know, mentioned briefly, was sex, because I was terrified of women. I wouldn't approach anybody. I mean, you know, me? Oh, my God. You know, so anyway, that's what happened. Once I started, I couldn't stop. And it took me a hell of a long time to realize that. Food provided. When I was a teenager, I got buckets full of Halloween food. I threw a brick through a neighbor's house because he said he didn't have candy. I buried candy around the house. The only thing that could relieve me of this at the beginning was joining Overeaters Anonymous, even though, like I say, I had the idea that, I'm a compulsive overeater, and my life had become unmanageable. In my heart, I thought I meant it. I thought I meant it. But in my heart, I didn't recognize this is a deadly disease. It's life and death. I wanted people to love me really badly because I felt alone. And I ate over, happy, sad, mad, glad. My big thing, and I still feel it now sometimes, but the volume gets turned down and I have something to do, is feeling lonely. You know, I thought I'd reward myself, and what that amounted to was, I won't tell you the whole thing, you know, reflux, I'll leave it at that mention, but I'd eat myself into physical pain. And, you know, eventually, I had a year, 83 tonight, year abstinence. I got up and got the candles, and I thought, this is fun. People are applauding for me. I hate myself. I want to kill myself. I want a girlfriend. They're applauding for me. And, you know, that's okay. But, again, the predator, right? It boomeranged on me and cut me to ribbons. And is that 5 minutes yet? It seems so long.
Yeah,
oh, okay, beautiful. So I came in, and I stayed till 90, got married. Wonderful woman. We're still married from 92, and the program, you know, has changed me there. Because, again, I heard that we look at the world from a gimme, 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 to a what can I contribute? Now, that's talked about on page 99 of the 12 and 12, the Francis Prayer. I don't abide that perfectly at all, but I have a sponsor who can remind me and say, well, like was said, you write about it, you pray about it, you call people, and you make commitments about your behavior. And sometimes I go overboard, but my wife and I, for all the criticism I bring to it. We have a connection. I owe that to my higher power, and I'll talk about that. I hope to God, there we go, that anyone who feels they're an atheist, I really don't believe it's necessary to sacrifice that. Necessarily, someone has what I want. I'm asking for help. I listen to what they're doing. Somebody said, it's my own best intuition in my brain. I have no right to condemn that. If that's working for you, that's fine. But finally, asking for help and getting a sponsor, a different sponsor, that I'll have problems and he'll say, I smell a resentment there. And I'll say, I don't think so. I give myself a day to review those things and say, well, that's what he said. Does it work for me? A lot of times it does. It does work for me. And I used to think, I'll talk about my higher power. I'm only sort of kidding. I used to have this penchant beyond now for sarcasm, so I'd tell people, oh, it's like Santa Claus. My dad told me that when I was 5. He was an atheist, and he wanted me to remain true. He said, you're going to decide what you believe. And he told me about God, and I said, oh, the heart's desire, that means there's candy? He gives me candy. I mean, who's going to object to that? It changed from that into, there was this show, I Dream of Genie. You rub a lamp and a genie comes out and you make a prayer and the genie fixes your life. Then it was like a bellboy. I mean, I heard this, right? A bellboy that answers all my demands. Then it went into, I realize not exactly, mafia is the wrong word, but someone highly secretive that I had to go through a ritual to talk to. Like the mafia, you come to the door, you want to talk to the Don's back is facing you, watching a bird on fire, an intermediary says, you can't talk to him. He doesn't want to talk to you. You have to. And then it was, Jeff, forgive the phrase, folks, jump through a burning bush or whatever. I mean, I had to do whatever. In Overeaters Anonymous, it had to hurt bad enough, and it did. Reflux for 2 damn years. I mean, when I got mad, if my wife said, why the heck don't you stop? Finally, I came back in. I'm backtracking for a moment. Karen D., who's passed away, told me in a dream, my son, a little wacky, I'm nervous about that. It's okay to go back to Overeaters Anonymous. I went the next day, and that was the year 2000 to 2004, and I'm abstinent since then. God wants me to do the best I know how. And that's 10%, what I heard this suggested too. That's 10%. Entirely ready to remove. I mean, okay, I'm nuts. What do I do now? God is the magic that exists when people offer. You offer. Someone is miserable. I lost some weight. How did you do it, Robin? And I don't push. I don't have expectations, although of course I do, and I'm disappointed. But I go, here's what I did. And for that moment, someone says something, okay, for that moment, I'm unburdened of my defects because I'm giving service. It is better to give than receive. I resist that all kinds of ways from Sunday. And I'm still unhappy sometimes. That's why I have a sponsor. I was told, you work the program, you do your best. Recently, I'll talk today at 3:00. I want to, try to offer hope to people that you do not have to overeat what I do. I'm going at 3:00 to my brothers and his sisters. I love them dearly. Now, they've invited an ex-friend that I jettisoned 3 years ago or so, because I realized he was toxic and he made my skin crawl and that I deserved better. And I said, God, if it means being alone forever, and that was the, you know, the fear, if that's what it means, I'm willing to be alone. I'm real unhappy. I told them to go away. My sister-in-law has said, well, he's our friend too, which I didn't say anything. I hate making amends, so I didn't. But I sweated blood over this because I thought, I don't like being around this guy. And my sponsor gave me an idea only that you don't have to like him, and I don't, but you do have to love him. And when I heard that, it was like, oh, Jesus, what is this program slot? But I thought about it, and it resonates more true than, you know, someone said, how do you want to spend your Thanksgiving? Whining about this creepy guy, or practicing the Francis Prayer and not focusing on him? You're not obliged to, 12 people there. And if I get in trouble, I call people up. All I do is say, I commit to not having the stuffing at all. I commit to, and so forth, as determines what. I mean, if it gets crazy, crazy, I'll say, you know, I don't feel right. I have to leave. That's never happened. So I can enjoy my time with my brother, who I love dearly. God has blessed me with a brother that is inconceivable. You know, I'm here to have some fun, really. You know, it was said to me, you can have some fun. You don't have to sweat blood over what they'll think. You don't have to worry about the fact that they're much younger. My wife said, you know, forgive me, fella, your sponsor's much younger than you. What could you possibly have in common? And he has less abstinence than you. What could you possibly have in common? If I make those two things important, then I'm really screwed. Because I magnify the similarities, they grow. I magnify the differences, they grow. I don't have to be lonely anymore. That's the promise. Yes, sometimes, me being me, my mind, whatever, I probably will, but it's best to check it out. You know, check it out. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to suffer. For the newcomer or anybody else has questions, whatever, you know, let's exchange phone numbers. That's real important. You don't have to overeat or whatever, compulsive eating, whatever. And I wish you all the best in the world. Thank you.